The question was relating Emil Fackenheim's notion to the fact that the Holocaust, the Shoah, confronted us with something which was unassimilable and really played havoc with our theological apparatuses of yesteryear. And at this point, the only way the Jewish people can reconstitute itself is through an active will of co-relation among and within the people, rather than maintaining this earlier belief that the one God was somehow in charge.
Well, I think one of the first differences, I imagine, that that Fackenheim and I would have is that, what do we mean when we talk about God? Now, as an historian, I and this was part of the whole process, I've seen the concept of God continuously undergo radical change, particularly when you had mutations. So that you're not talking now about, I am not talking about God in the sense that God delivers in the way he was pictured as delivering in the biblical period, or the way he was pictured as offering eternal life and salvation, eternal life and resurrection during with the birth of Allah, so that if you didn't get your reward in this world, you would get it in some future world. I've seen the idea of God undergo tremendous reformulation all along the line in Maimonides and the Zohar and so on. So many of these reformulations at the time were rejected by many Jews as not really being God at all. But obviously, we still study Maimonides and study the Zohar maybe more than we've ever studied in a very, very long time. I'm dealing with something different. I'm talking about what was it that the Jews believed, whether it was true or not, that enabled them to reach this day the way they had. So that it was the fact that they believed there was a God that was showing his power when they were being beaten up, that gave them the resilience not to give up. Now that's independent of whether such a God does or does not exist. So that when you're talking about a Holocaust, the way I would look at it, I would say, well, the Holocaust, first place, I don't consider the Holocaust as unexplainable. I've studied enough about history to see that the capacity for evil is only limited by the technology to perpetrate. In other words, you got a Holocaust because Holocaust was, on this scale, was possible with new technologies. The wish for Holocaust for the Jewish people were certainly expressed. The people that, the pogrom, when Jews were beset by pogrom, don't you think the people would have liked to have wiped out the Jews completely? Just weren't able to do it. So I don't want to make it unique. To make it unique renders it beyond hope of ever finding a way out, because it was just going to come. Just Hitler had the opportunity. Look at Stalin. Look how evil Stalin was, and he did it against his own people. Though he threw in some anti-Semitism, but he did it in a way to his own. Wiped out the peasantry, starved them, put them in concentration camps. I don't have to tell you all these things. So suppose Stalin were Hitler and Hitler were Stalin. You know, it was really one, two faces of the same coin, except that the Jews in Germany were utilizable by Hitler in a way that they weren't utilizable in a Soviet-type state that emerged. So when I would deal with the Holocaust, I don't look to say, well, God does or doesn't intervene. All I'm saying is there some way of understanding how this kind of evil could reach such ripeness that it seemed to mutate? It became pure evil rather than on the edges of evil, the normal evil that you and I are accustomed to. Then where I see it coming from, yes, I see an explanation. It comes from the insecurity of nations. It was Germany's insecurity with respect to her growing economic power that led her to take the risk of World War I. because there was no way within that nation-state system that didn't allow for a European community, we have it today, for Germany's wealth to be part of a common pool of expanding wealth for a whole continent. That's what they're doing now. French wealth, the capacity for wealth-making is now pooled. Everybody is going to be to benefit from it, but it wasn't available, so they... And here there was no issue of totalitarianism and no issue of anti-Semitism and so forth. At Verdun, how do you explain the slaughter at Verdun? That's the insecurity of nations. Then at the end of World War II, you got the Treaty of Versailles, which guaranteed the insecurity of Germany. It made it certain that Germany could not possibly, we're going to do everything possible to get out of the insecurity that she was in. So you get your Hitler. And because of that, of the time when he was coming to power, where it was that, you know, he was going to, the security for Germany required the rooting out of anything that might endanger insecurity, so he could point to the Jews and said, ah, this is where your insecurity really comes from, because they were the ones that were behind the British, they were the ones behind the French, they were behind World War I, they were behind the Versailles, etc. So therefore, you can't destroy them on battlefields. You can't blow them up. So you destroy them in the only way you know how. It's an anomalous people, so you put them in concentration camps. That's why a Holocaust, Nagasaki and Hiroshima, doesn't look quite the same as this Holocaust, because it was done in the normal way of solving nations' insecurities, by blowing the other nation up. Then it's okay. Women, children, and so forth. But here, of course, I see it as... The total evil of the unresolved problem of the insecurity of nations all became focused in on the Holocaust. But its true meaning was lost at that time because it couldn't be, nobody understood it, and it couldn't be, the conclusion couldn't be drawn from it. And the Jews who were most in the position to draw it, their very lives were in, if they didn't have Israel, they would have nothing. So therefore, they began to think, as Fackenheim did, this will now mean that we'll have our own fate in our own hand. But if the United States hadn't supported Israel, if both superpowers, if the superpowers all ganged up against Israel, could Israel survive?